NPR host Steve Inskeep isn't a historian. His job is to report on what's happening now. So it may come as some surprise that his latest book focuses on what President Andrew Jackson did roughly 200 years ago to force Native Americans out of the Southeast. In a recent conversation with WPLN's Nina Cardona, Inskeep explains that the thinking behind the Trail of Tears continues to echo today.
My day job has me thinking about history all the time. Each story that you may cover has a backstory to it. And the longer perspective you have, I think, the better job I can do in giving you the latest news, because that gives me a sense of whether this has happened before.
There are several places in the book where you take a moment and you draw that distinct line between, for instance, the way that Jackson dealt with a Supreme Court ruling.
There were two different Supreme Court cases relating to the Cherokee Nation and its effort to remain on its land in North Georgia and surrounding states, including parts of Tennessee. And the second time, Marshall ruled in their favor. John Marshall, possibly the greatest Supreme Court Chief Justice, he said in a very clear ruling that there was no doubt whatsoever that Cherokees had been on that land for centuries, long before white settlers arrived, that they had legal rights to the land, and that they owned it and had the right to govern it. Very clear ruling. While Jackson did not simply ignore the ruling, his administration found political ways effectively to have the case withdrawn, rather than ever having the big implications of that case be enforced. Now, imagine if President Dwight Eisenhower had done that in response to Brown versus Board of Education in 1954, which said that it was necessary to desegregate American public schools. History would have been radically different.
What do you think the sense was for a man like Jackson? What would have happened to this nation if the Cherokee had stayed?
He thought it was a bad idea for the United States. He thought it was a bad idea for the Cherokees. He and quite a few people who were supporters of the Cherokees believed that they and other Indian nations were being destroyed by their contact with white civilization, by white land grabbers and white alcohol sellers and other corrupting influences. The choices were not good for Jackson, but he didn't particularly explore the alternatives either. He just wanted the Indians to move. The ambition of Jackson's great opponent, John Ross, the principal chief of the Cherokees, was for the Cherokee Nation eventually to become a kind of territory or state within the Union. No way was found at that time to make that happen. No way was seriously pursued.
You also draw a comparison between when Jackson's men went into Cherokee territory and American efforts in Iraq.
Yeah, this was a moment in which President Jackson's administration was trying to persuade the Cherokees to leave. I think there is some parallel to be drawn with the way that the United States behaved after the invasion of Iraq. American officials who, with the best of intentions, went to this other country and tried to impose what seemed to them to be obviously good American-style reforms. And they discovered that many of the people in the country they thought they were trying to help didn't want that help. And in the same way, I go back in history and we discover officials of an American administration going into the Cherokee Nation and telling the Cherokees it was obviously good for them to give up their land and move west of the Mississippi. And they were utterly baffled that the Cherokee leaders didn't go along with this. And they were convinced that the people, the Cherokee people themselves, were being deluded. And so they arranged on several different occasions something like an election. They'd have mass meetings and thousands of Cherokees would show up and they'd have a vote. And it was astonishing to U.S. government officials that 95% or more of the Cherokees in those meetings would vote with their leadership to stay where they were, in effect.
You said that one of the great reasons for doing this, delving into this history, was to better understand the context for today. What do you feel like you understand better?
It was really educational for me to just be reminded far more forcefully than I had realized before that this has always been an incredibly diverse country. There has always been this question, how do we make sure that everybody's rights are respected and we still fit together as one country? That's what they were struggling with in the 1820s and 30s. It's widely accepted now they didn't come up with a very good answer. And we can hope to get better answers over time. And in any case, it's going to be our responsibility to come up with better answers over time as the country continues changing and as this democratic process goes on.
Well, Steve Inskeep, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The book is called Jackson Land, President Andrew Jackson, Cherokee Chief John Ross, and a Great American Land Grab. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Nina Cardona.